So I don't know exactly what's going on here or what action you're going to take to solve this, but this looks like a problem. Like this, like basically like 90% of your churn all happened 3 months in. I'm like, do you have any idea what's going on here? And that was their moment to kind of slap their head. And they go, oh, so we have these customers. Some customers come to us for a long-term subscription and some customers come to us project-based. And this is, most of the projects are 3 months in length.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's show is sponsored by the Be Profit app for e-commerce sellers. Need a clearer picture of your profit margins, or want an easier way to understand your ad spend, or looking for a fast way to analyze all of your Shopify store's data? Then the Be Profit app does it all for you. And like many of our listeners, I used to track a lot of my profits and expenses with all things like a spreadsheet. It worked for a while, but you know, my store started to scale up and it simply wasn't a viable method to accurately measure the profitability anymore. And that's where Be Profit now changes all of that for Shopify brands. It's currently available right now in the Shopify App Store. Be Profit gathers vast amounts of data in a blink of an eye with an auto integrations to a lot of the top ad platforms, AliExpress, and a lot more. But what Be Profit does next is to translate all of your first party, your Shopify store data into an intuitive and customizable all-in-one dashboard, providing you with valuable insights, and it really allows you to zoom in on the metrics that matter most to your brand. You can even take full control of your data by creating and exporting your own custom reports. So that's pretty exciting. Discover your most valuable products, their top performing ads, best customer cohorts, and so much more, all with the Be Profit's intuitive profit dashboard. Now you can visit beprofit.co and you can start a 7-day free trial, kind of kick the tires and see what this platform can do. Also, for e-commerce Fastlane listeners, you get access to an exclusive lifetime 15% discount. Use code FL15 on any Be Profit plan. So you get a 7-day free trial, 15% off for life. Check them out today at beprofit.co and use the discount code FL15. Well, hey there. My name is Steve Hutt. I'm Senior Merchant Success Manager here at Shopify, and welcome back to Season 5 of E-Commerce Fastlane. Whether this is your first time listening or you're a weekly subscriber, I seriously appreciate you taking time today and listening to the show. I know there's plenty of podcast choices out in e-commerce, direct-to-consumer marketing, and just the fact that you're here today means the world to me, and I know it does for my very unique featured guest today. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show. We have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving. What's interesting about today's episode is the fact that this is not necessarily tailored towards the direct-to-consumer founder. This is actually a little bit of a paradigm shift. This is actually part of the app and kind of partner ecosystem. So as you know, with your Shopify store, there's a significant amount of apps available. I think, as of today's recording, there must be close to 8,000 different apps. There are some notable app partners, and those app partners are typically the ones that I interview here on this podcast and talk about the problems they're solving. You know, I bring up the comment a lot that Shopify, does 80% of commerce extremely well. It's usually that other 20% that's typically filled in with an app or a marketing platform, some kind of connection through one of the Shopify APIs to do something else, customer experience. It could be going out to your 3PL. It could be a data pipeline. I mean, there's a lot of marketing automation-y things that maybe Shopify chooses to not work on or have it natively in their solution, but there's these app ecosystem that allows this customer experience to happen. That's what's unique about today's episode is I have Brian Sierkowski, who's the general manager of a company called Bear Metrics. And what they are is they're a subscription analytics tool. They help Shopify partners and these app founders really to understand the performance through tracking the key metrics for your particular solution. I guarantee it's going to be an excellent conversation. The show, like I said, is not for everybody. So if you're a founder of a direct-to-consumer brand, today's show may not be for you, but I know that there is a lot of SaaS founders, people in the app ecosystem that listen to this show because they try to understand what's the competition doing in my space. You may have a competing product or thinking about expanding your app into not a Swiss Army knife, but maybe adding on some more functionality as you're learning through this podcast. That's what today's episode is all about, is learning about Baremetrics and what they're doing and how they're helping SaaS founders with their growth. So hi, Brian. Welcome to E-commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So I mentioned a little bit at the top of the show, but let's talk about Baremetrics. Let's talk about the problems you're solving for these partners and SaaS founders that connect themselves to Shopify. Their flag is definitely in the sand of wanting to help merchants. Those could be listening today, but there's also lots of people that are, like I said, that are SaaS founders that are wanting to get into our ecosystem or looking to expand their lineup of products or features that are built into their solutions. So let's talk about how connected to Baremetrics actually helps them.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what we're trying to do is for in the subscription space, there's a lot of data flying at you. It's a lot of acronyms and different phrases that are spoken about to really speak to like how well is your business performing and where might there be opportunities. And ultimately, what we're trying to do is provide you a platform that you can plug in, hopefully one click, maybe two or three, but really getting you to the point where you can understand how your business is doing. Are you growing? Are you shrinking? Are you going sideways? And what are the reasons for that? And then ultimately, well, I think what we're all trying to get to is to understand what are the best opportunities for you to grow your business. And that might be something like understanding that there's an opportunity to reduce churn. Maybe churn is a big issue. Maybe that's an issue too. It's a matter of getting more new customers and expansion. So really, that's what we're trying to get to, is to sort of demystify what's going on within your business to help you understand where are the opportunities to grow your business.
Excellent. So let's talk a little about the origin story of Baremetrics, because I'm always fascinated, like why people build what they build. Sometimes it's a purpose-built solution and they see that there's a wider, you know, it turns into a subscription product because it has a wider market availability. But I just would like to understand a little bit about how all the pieces came together for the founding team. Like, where did the desire and the expertise come from to even want to create this platform?
Absolutely. And it's really interesting to think about from the lens of Shopify, because it's a very similar story. Baremetrics was formed in 2013, where this was around Stripe. And Stripe was a very similar thing, where this was this wonderful ecosystem that was coming up that was making it really easy to accept payments online. The other choices around were really clunky and really painful, like authorize.net. And Stripe kind of had this pitch of like, hey, within like, I don't know what their initial pitch was, maybe something like, within 30 minutes, you can be accepting credit card payments online. And very quickly, they moved into the space of subscription-based business, because SaaS was kind of an emerging trend at that point in time. And what the founding team at that point in time realized was like, well, interesting. Like, we have this really powerful tool that can scale a business super fast. You know, we can go from where it might have taken us weeks or months to start accepting credit cards. We can build, you know, basically over a weekend, we can come up with an idea for a business, build it, launch it, you know, have the payment page right there, and people can go live with it. And so that to me sounds very similar to what's going on in the Shopify apps marketplace. And the same issue at the time existed. It's like, okay, well, once you do that, what's going on within your business? How many people are signing up? How are you growing? How, you know, trying to understand the internals of that business. So that was really the initial problem that Baremetrics was founded to solve. And we're basically now taking that same mentality and applying it towards the Shopify partner space. Just for me personally, I joined the company in 2020. Anybody familiar with Baremetrics, which is maybe actually not that many people and listening to this, the founder at the time sold the business. He wrote a really great blog post about it. It's still one of our highest traffic blog posts. It's extremely transparent. So if you want to know effectively any of the details of the acquisition, you can go and read that. So I came on board, like you mentioned at the top, I'm the general manager of Baremetrics. We're owned by a private equity firm. So I came on board in November in 2020, and I did it to get up to speed very quickly on a lot of developments that had been happening with the product over the years prior to that.
Yeah, this is really exciting. I'm going to make sure I have a link to that acquisition because I think there's going to be a lot of people that are interested in that. There were people who are always trying to figure out how they can pitch their product, and you know they want to build it up to a certain kind of level. And I think that's what happens sometimes with some SaaS founders, even D2C founders, where sometimes that you know it builds up to a certain level, but then all of a sudden maybe they've kind of outgrown kind of what they can do individually or as a team, and sometimes you just require a little more energy and brain power from others who could maybe see a larger vision around the product and have the engineering chops and the marketing chops around it. And then that helps kind of push it to the next level. So I think sharing that information will be very, I appreciate the fact it's open and transparent about that sort of growth to exit. And what does that look like? It's not for everybody, but I guess I'm going to be devil's advocate just for a moment, because so if people choose to get their app published on the Shopify App Store, which is, you know, I think a highly recommended thing. I don't think Shopify is too happy about private injections of kind of private apps and things like that. I think there's benefits of having a public app. I think from an API call limit, and there's lots of benefits. And I think the biggest one, forget what Shopify is saying, the other side of it is just the ridiculous amounts, millions of people coming to the App Store every month, and the potential exposure that can come from it. You know, it's searchable by category and trending, and you know, even a staff pick. If you're lucky, those are very interesting, highly coveted spots to be. So getting on there, I think, is important. I guess my thought is that, you know, is there any kind of solutions built into, I guess, the partner's dashboard that kind of talks about lead pipeline and talks about a few basic metrics? Is that enough for some founders, or is that what differentiates the Baremetrics tool, is that you have a much larger kind of like a tool chest sort of thing, or of more metrics and more ideas to help? So,
yeah, absolutely. So we run into that all the time, where we talk with companies and they think they need Baremetrics, and maybe they come to the realization that either, like you were saying, there are those businesses that are in the phase of like, hey, we're just kind of running this and it's kind of doing well, and you know, things are growing and we don't necessarily care too much. You know, it's like, as long as everything's going up, then that's great. So we definitely exist in like a continuum of, especially if you're very early on, like one of the things that we do really well is to help you sort of like subset your customers and dive in and understand like what is going on inside of your business. So like, for example, if you have like 5 customers and you know them personally, then something like Baremetrics is probably not that useful, because how many useful subsegments are there of 5 customers? You know, there's probably not a lot of insights that you couldn't like intuit on your own. Where we really find that once you kind of get beyond that level, you know, once there's like kind of that, there's like that sophistication gap of like, as you're growing, especially again, based off of the amount of time and effort that you want to put on, if you're like, hey, this is something that's really growing and I really want to like get behind this, like this is exciting, I want to either build a team around this, or I just want to kind of like, let's just see how far this can go. Well, usually the next question is like, okay, because I actually did this myself. I founded a company, I ran it nights and weekends, and then there was a moment where it shifted and I'm like, I'm going to go full time with this. And I remember the moment vividly where it's like, I was actually in my basement and it was like Monday morning, and like I sat down in my computer and I'm like, okay, what do I do? what I'm spending, you know, full time effort to grow this thing. What's the thing to do? So that's really where Baremetrics can come in to be an invaluable tool of like understanding like, okay, well, what are the opportunities in front of us? Which includes, first of all, where are we today? Like, how much MRR do we have? Which is monthly recurring revenue, which we can do a little primer on those terms too. But it's like, basically, like, what's the overall financial benchmark of the company, financial health of the product? How fast are we growing? What does our churn look like? And then going down to subsets of like, well, if you offer multiple plans or even multiple products, like which one of those is growing fastest? A lot of times when you look at the total number, you get an averaged view, obviously, because it's like, it's the average of it. If you look at your churn number and it says 5% churn, well, that's 5% averaged across all of your customers. Well, what if there's a segment of customers that only churn at 1%? That's probably pretty good to know. You might want to invest there. And then conversely, what if the, you know, on the other side, there's a segment of customers that churn at 20%? Oh my goodness, like what's going on there? If you can turn that 20% into a 10%, then you just doubled your growth rate. So that's the kind of questions usually people will start looking for a tool at that point, because they realize that they don't have enough information in front of them. Maybe they realize that they personally don't have like the skill set and the understanding of the SaaS space, although that usually is not a blocker, because even people who do understand how to do these things don't want to do it by hand. They don't want to like manually create a tool for it. So that's generally where it makes sense to go to a bare metrics. And there's certainly people that are before that, where it's like, yeah, there's not, you know, the answer to them usually, because we talk with everybody who's willing to talk with us when they sign up. A lot of times the advice to them is like, hey, well, either, you know, to spend a bit more time on it, or, you know, get more customers. Like, that's what your dashboard says, is you need more customers, which you probably already knew that. But, you know, that's like kind of good feedback for them to understand, you know, just from a high level of like, there's definitely a tipping point where it's like, okay, bare metrics goes from being something like, oh, I don't know if I need to pay for this, to, oh, this tool like pays for itself like 10, 20 times over every single month.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Like I said, I mostly interview these SaaS and kind of marketing platform founders on here, because they're solving some very unique problems. But usually at the end of the show, we talk about, hey, what's the listener only promotion or bonus that you like? What's the call to action now that you've shared your thought leadership around your tool and kind of what you're doing? And, you know, usually it's, you know, some kind of a free trial, or some kind of a discount, that's applied maybe, after onboarding and stuff like that. Is there any kind of like trial insights or anything kind of built into the tool? Because for me, it was like, it'd be so interesting to be able to track and saying, hey, because we offered a 15-day free trial and we followed those customer cohorts through their customer journey on our, as a potential customer, versus maybe offering a longer trial and some better onboarding. Or so I'm just curious in kind of what your mindset is and how the tool could help from a trial perspective equals better lifetime value for someone who wants to use your Shopify app.
Absolutely. So we do have a feature like that built in. It's literally called Trial Insights, like you said. And we actually have a lot of, especially on the Shopify side, we have a lot of roadmap around that, because yeah, we agree. Bare Metrics just went through a big round of price testing, and using Trial Insights was like critical for us to really understand what's going on. And to us, we weren't changing the trial length, but we were changing like the offer price. So it's like, all right, well, how does that affect our funnel? And the thing that's tricky, both from our side, you know, I'm thinking from a product perspective, but also as an operator, trials are, obviously it all happens over time. There's always like a rolling period of like, okay, well, if you have a 14-day trial and you put that up, then you're only going to see your first cohort of people go through that 14 days in. And then, so really you need to probably run that for like 6 weeks. So you have like three cohorts, and then you need to measure it for 8 to 12 weeks. And the other thing that we find is that, you know, we talk to any business, you know, this is across all subscription businesses, and we're like, oh, what's your like average conversion time? Like before they sign up, just asking them. And they're, oh, we have a 14-day trial. So the average conversion date's probably like probably right around 14 days. Sometimes people sign up early, sometimes people sign up a little bit later. And then like, we'll look in their account and be like, oh, it's actually closer to like 60 days or 70 days. Just because it's like, you have people that start a trial and leave and come back. Like within Bare Metrics, we'll have people that, especially if they're bringing their own data to us, it might make sense that we want to give them a trial extension. Although, you know, as an operator, I hate trial extensions. But, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, we allow people to fully, this is going a little bit deeper into the product, but we allow people to fully enrich all the data. They can bring their own product data into Bare Metrics, so they can kind of create their own segments and things like that. So sometimes it makes sense, and I can't argue with the success team that we should do a trial reset. And so all these things happen, and, you know, then that's the case for us. I think our average conversion length is like 50 days. So it's like, well, again, this is like another thing. There's all these different like gotchas. And if that's true, and we go through and we audit that, if your average conversion time is 50 days and you're running experiments and you're expecting to see results in 14 days, then even if you are putting a winner out there into the market, you're not going to see that. So a lot of it comes into this full awareness of like, how does your business work? And maybe you do. I mean, I'm sure there, and I know for a fact, I've seen businesses where their average conversion time is like less than in their trial. The reason for that is that they're doing a lot of incentivization during the trial to say like, hey, if you sign up now, we'll give you this. Or, you know, they're killers from a product marketing perspective of like that, you know, the minute that customer gets that wow moment of using the product, they're there and like, all right, put your credit card in right now, you know. So not to say that it can't happen, but again, this is like that might be something that would be really beneficial for your business to do. There's also a list of like probably 10,000 things you can do. So again, this is where like having the full dashboard of like understanding the ins and outs of your business can really shape where you're going to spend your time and what the biggest like ROI from an effort perspective is going to come in.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so maybe walk us through now, like what happens? We have a SaaS founder listening now. They're, you know, doing some kind of a spreadsheety thing on their own right now, or they're just looking at the partner dashboard and they're just kind of like making their own hypothesis. What happens when they add Baremetrics to, you know, let's say they get a trial and they give that a whirl? What sort of, like, just walk us through the process of ingesting the current active subscribers, the current people in, like, I guess I just want to completely understand or share with everybody about, like, what people can reasonably expect once they connect Baremetrics.
Yeah, this is an area that we really focus on and we try. Of course, there's always exceptions, but the flow should really be you sign up, you create your Baremetrics account, and then the next step will be like, hey, who's your payment provider? Where are all these subscriptions stored? And you'll be able to select Shopify partners at that step. And then we will connect to your Shopify partners account. And then from that point, depending on how much data you have, that's when the computers are going, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop on the back end, doing all the calculation. You know, we try to make that process as fast as possible, but that can be limited by API request limits and things like you were sort of alluding to earlier. But anyway, at some point, we're going to reach back out to you and say like, hey, your data's ready. And then at that point, you show up and we have 26 different metrics from your MRR, your ARR, which is an obvious extension of that, and your churn rates and all of the segmentation. Everything at that point is live and ready to go. And what we also do is we reach out to you. I guess there's a lot of SaaS companies out there that take this approach. But what we really realize is like, we do have customers that go through self-serve, and I think it makes sense, especially if you have a lot of experience in the space. But I think especially for Shopify, what we notice is that not only is this a new product and a new experience, but it's also just like a new domain. And like we were joking, we talk to Shopify customers and they're like, oh, this says our MRR is 100,000. I'm like, yeah, that's great. They're like, well, what's MRR? It's like, oh, okay. We need to like step back a second. And I think that when we work with companies too, we really help them because a lot of people interact with these metrics at a high level, but you kind of have to understand like, well, all these metrics have a purpose and they have a use. And so for example, if you're using MRR to forecast how much money you have in your bank account, that's not right. You're going to run into issues there. So we reach out to everybody who signs up for a trial. And like, if we could, we obviously don't get 100% take rate, but we would love to like walk everyone through, talk to them, basically have a conversation kind of like this. Of like, hey, well, what are your objectives? What are you trying to do? We'll look at your data and we'll give you kind of our initial feedback. Like we don't know your business, but for example, I've done this for customers. We have this churn cohort chart, which basically just shows you over time, like when in the subscription do people churn? And I had one customer that I was talking to where it was like right at 3 months, there was this wall where they had like 90% retention up until 3 months. And then like after 4 months, they dropped down to like 30% retention. And I'm like, whoa. And that's crazy. And so that's something you don't see in churn percentage because that happens over time. But looking at it in that different view helps you understand that. And I was able to go to them and be like, hey, I don't know your business. So I don't know exactly what's going on here or what action you're going to take to solve this. But this looks like a problem. Like this, like basically like 90% of your churn all happens 3 months in. I'm like, do you have any idea what's going on here? And that was their moment to kind of slap their head. They go, oh. So we have these customers, some customers come to us for a long-term subscription and some customers come to us project-based. And this is, most of the projects are 3 months in length. And so what they wound up doing is they created a new product offering for the product, a project-based customer. I think they did like, it was like up to 6 months, but they gave them a better price or whatever. They figured out all the details to kind of, you know, accept the fact that they're going to lose their customers. But what can we do to one, make it a better experience? Because signing up for a monthly tool that you know you're only going to use for 3 months kind of stinks. But also for them, it's like, well, losing 90% of their revenue to churn every 3 months when, you know, it's like, I think they also had things like having access to the documents that were created. There was a bunch of things that they could do sort of after the project. So that was really their impetus. So the kind of bottom line is like, they knew that this was something was going on in their business, but seeing it the right way, that immediately brought it from like priority number 12 to priority number 1 in their business. And they kind of turned things around after that. It was really incredible. That's why I bring them up as an example, because I said one thing to them and then they did like the hundreds of hours of works, and then, you know, but like I get to kind of take credit for that. So it's good for a podcast to be like, yeah, I said one thing and they like basically like doubled their revenue over the next couple of months.
Today's episode is brought to you by BeProfit, the all-in-one profit analysis dashboard for Shopify e-commerce brands. Get a grip on all of your store's data and start making data-driven decisions to optimize your profitability today. Make the most of your store and discover the true power of BeProfit by visiting BeProfit.co. And don't forget to use the code FL15, that's FL15, for an exclusive lifetime 15% discount. And I could see it. I could see one thing that would be really helpful for a SaaS founder too, knowing, you know, approximately when you're going to churn, and then thinking about, well, like, what's my education or drip sequence that's happening in the early days, and then getting close. I mean, it's just like a D2C founder. If you know, especially on a subscription D2C founder, unless you're selling supplements or something, and then all of a sudden, or contact lenses, whatever it is, and all of a sudden, you know that the typical customer only lasts a certain amount of time. It's like, well, what are you doing? And it's like a life cycle marketing. How do we deal with the at-risk customers that are going to be churning soon, and what sort of incentives or education? But I guess, you know, what Barometrics is doing is just at least helping the SaaS founder identify the fact that this is your first party data connected to Shopify. This is the reality, not just churn percentage of total revenue and all that. This is like exactly the dates that, you know, statistically relevant dates of kind of when the bulk of people are churning. And knowing that, like, then there's got to be a playbook around, well, here's some things that you may want to do to help alleviate some of that. And that's kind of what you were just mentioning.
Absolutely. It's always what and then why. Okay, what's going on within the business? What's the number? What's going on here? And then why is it happening? Like you said, around churn, like really like outside of Barometrics or what, just like generally in business, like, you know, it's one thing to say, well, so the first thing we get is like, our churn is too high. I've never met a founder that thought that their churn couldn't be low. It's just like, you know, it's like always a thing. And you're usually right, which is kind of why I think people say that. It's like, okay, well, first off, let's quantify that. What percent churn, what revenue churn or user churn? Like those are two different metrics that we have. And it, how you look at it also depends on who you are as a person and also how your business operates. And it's like, okay, well, why is that churn happening? The example that I gave before of like, you know, this is where being able to segment out your data is really important, because there's probably multiple reasons why people churn. And if you can see like, well, buy different product or buy different type, or even like by size of customer, like, you know, it's like, hey, maybe your bigger customers churn for one reason, your smaller customers churn for another reason. It's like, okay, well, you know, what's the math breakdown on that? Like, do you have the same number of big customers churning and small customers churning? It's like, well, then you should probably solve the issue that causes the big customers to churn, because it's, you know, relevant. But usually what's happened is like, okay, we get, you know, $1,000 a month churn, and then we have, you know, $100 a month. So it's then you have to kind of subdivide between the two. But really understanding, it's like, well, what is going on? And then why is it happening? And then you can, you know, usually it's like, if we take our customers all the way up through the why, we can't tell them, I guess, how would be next. Now, how do you solve this? But usually if you say to a business owner and operator, here's what's going on, here's why it's happening, they're already filling in the how to fix it. Like, because they know their business so well and they understand. And I think the people that we work with are kind of already have that sort of, just to get into the space, you solve a problem and you took all the effort and all the challenge to solve a problem. So when we give you a very well-defined problem to solve, usually they're off to the races to solve it.
I have another question about, and it's related, but about forecasting, because I think that could be a very interesting metric. I know that you have some kind of a forecasting, I guess, section, but just maybe you can unpack that a bit for these app developers. Like, what does a forward-looking insights, like, why is that important? And then how can founders like action this forecasting data?
Yeah. So this is something a little bit special that we do. Most of the, actually kind of like really any analytics tool, you know, you look at like Google Analytics or any sort of things, you know, in our space, the financial analytics space, it's like most of the tools, except for Barometrics, they look at just the revenue side. So what money are you making, upgrades, downgrades, churn, so on and so forth. And they look at just the past. So it's like, here's the trend and here it goes up to today. But it's like, okay, well, what's going to happen in the future? And I think generally the reason why most tools do that is because predicting the future is very, very difficult to do. So we actually did an acquisition last year of a product called FlightPath. And FlightPath looks at your whole kind of business health. It's your full like P&L and balance sheet and cash flow statement, all these kind of accounting terms that like most people don't really interact with on a deep way very frequently. And so we found that the combination of, we can take all of this sort of intelligence on your subscription metrics, like the what and how and to get you the why. And then we can send that through and say, okay, well, how is that going to affect your revenue? And how is that going to affect your expenses? And then what's your cash flow going to look like to move forward? Because what we really realized, and one of the things that drove us doing the acquisition is, well, first off, we use FlightPath. And historically, Barometrics almost ran out of money, and Barometrics used FlightPath to get back on track to then go on to be sold. So we already had our eye on it, like, hey, that was really damn useful to us. But it just was that natural, you know, that natural evolution of like, well, how can we go further? Again, we're already in that spot where we are meeting with every company that signs up. We touch base with all of our customers. We are there to like help them go deeper and make more is kind of our catchphrase. So like, how can we have them make more? So we found that kind of the natural evolution of that is like, okay, so let's say that we just gave that example of like, okay, we've kind of learned when customers are churning. We realize, we know why it is. Maybe the solution that would work best is to, maybe the number one, I'm doing a lot of maybes here. So maybe the reason why people are churning is that they don't understand how to use the product and, they're not getting the full value out of it. So they say, hey, this is way too expensive for, you know, something that just does X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's like, well, if you understood how to use the product better, you would realize that we do way more than that. So the solution there is maybe hiring a full-time success team member, maybe two. And so a lot of times just on the Barometric side, we come to sort of conclusions like that. And the founder would be like, well, I don't know if we can afford that. Or they might just say straight up, we can't afford that. So like, what's the next best thing we can do? And so using something like FlightPath, we have all of our revenue numbers brought in, we have all of our expense and everything is forecast in the future. Then we can use that to say like, okay, well, what is your cash statement look at? What does your cash balance look like if we hire two people? What does that look like? What does that look like if you hit your goals? What if that looks like if you don't hit your goals? What does that look like on current trajectory? You know, so it's really like, it's kind of like that next piece that's critical of like, you know, we thought we were doing something really special with like, hey, we're not just delivering you the numbers. We're actually telling you what's going on and giving you something actionable. But then it's like, well, then there was another roadblock of like, okay, well, are we going to run out of money? And I think especially relevant now, especially we're owned by a private equity firm. So we have a lot of people at the board level, the private equity firm that are looking at macroeconomic, you know, the whole situation that's going on. It's a lot of doom and gloom. We see a lot of layoffs already. And every time we see a popular layoff in the news, we're like, they should have been using FlightPath because they would have seen this coming, you know, way before they need to get rid of all these people. So it's kind of like the final step of like, you have all the, understand what happened in the past. You can really deeply understand it. You can get some different trajectories into the future. And then you can actually plan moving forward of like, okay, well, are we going to hire or even just like ad spend? When we sponsor a podcast or a newsletter or whatever, we bring that into our model and say like, hey, this isn't going to take us cash flow negative, right? And then we can say, we can create a scenario around that where we can actually go through the process of, okay, we think we're going to sponsor this podcast and we think it's going to have this effect on our revenue. We can test to see, like we can always, and then we look back historically from that too. We do a forecast versus actual, like, did we actually hit the numbers we thought we were going to hit? So on and so right. forth.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. Cause I think that's a really, really cool feature. I wish that forecasting model was available for direct to consumer brands. So those listening on the show today, think about that. Is there ways of analyzing your first party data and helping D2C founders think about, you know, where things are headed? But I know there's lots of variables of supply chain and different things, but I mean, putting all of these variables together is very interesting. I could see the application for that.
And the good news is that you can use FlightPath without Barometrics. So if there's somebody who's not in the subscription side, and we do actually have, because we acquired the business, so we have companies, you know, all over the place. We have some that are in the SaaS space. We have some that are publicly traded companies. So we have people all across the board, subscription, non-subscription. So we can help with that. Obviously, probably the first thing we're going to tell you is like, hey, be smart to look into a subscription model just because we believe so much in that. But you can get everything from, because that the forecasting side, the data sources are your accounting system. So QuickBooks Online or Xero. So that can be the starting point. And then we need to help you create the revenue forecast and so on and so forth. So an option there too, if you're on the subscription side, especially with these big ad budgets and acquisition costs, and you want to make sure that you are in a strong cash position, especially over the next 3 to 6 months where fundraising might be more challenging, you might need to look at debt financing or something like that. Perfect option for FlightPath there.
Very cool. So it's flightpathfinance.com for those listening. So you can, I'll put that in the show notes and stuff. So another question that I have is talking about maybe the competition in the same space. I mean, Shopify obviously has their own, at least basic kind of analysis of current active subscribers and, you know, some basic revenue numbers and things like that. And I think that's a really good starting point. And I think, you know, if you do a Google search and stuff, I'm sure there's other notable peers that are here to help, you know, SaaS companies in just building LTV out of their customers and trying to avoid churn and dunning and all these kind of fun things that you can do. And so I just would like to understand a little bit about Baremetrics, like how or why have they been so intentional to differentiate, maybe more specifically in the Shopify world? Like, why are you uniquely positioned to help SaaS founders?
Sure. Yeah. And we've already spoken to a lot of it already. So one, everybody, no one else in the space is focusing on Shopify in the same way that we are. Or at least I should say there are some solutions out there that are specifically focused on Shopify, but they've been created relatively recently and they don't have the years of experience that we have in this space. You and I were talking before, it's like when I first started at Baremetrics, I kind of had the thought too of like everything that we're saying, it's like, it doesn't sound simple, but it sounds like a relatively straightforward process of like, hey, if you want to know like what's your monthly recurring revenue, like how much money should you expect to receive based off of the contracts that you have on a monthly basis? And that turns out to be like a really complicated question. You have like some number of hundreds of thousands of lines of code that are across multiple systems to get that in there. So we just basically being started in 2013 and running into all these brick walls, to like we have this extremely good model of how a subscription business works. And then plugging Shopify into it was not like trivial. It's actually, you know, major focus for us that we're always trying to get better in that space. But nobody's focusing on Shopify in the same way that we are. Shopify's become our second integration. So number one is still Stripe, unfortunately to everybody on this call, but maybe we can all work together to correct that and get Shopify. We have, I think, like had something like 10 integrations or something like that. And Shopify went from like number 10 up to number 2, not overnight, but, you know, very, very quickly. So that, like, we took a bet on Shopify. We thought that this was going to be a big space for where subscription businesses were going to be built. And we were right. So the first off is just like nobody else is focusing on Shopify partners like we are. Second is the kind of focus on getting to those insights, that kind of helping you understand. So we have both from a product perspective and from a team perspective, we're here to help you understand your business. We've had lots of kind of like SaaS 101 chats on the Shopify side. Just to even help them understand what they're looking at and understand like how to like kind of talk about their business and what the different levers are. But then of course we take that to like, okay, well, how do you now use this information to grow your business? And then the third thing is then going into the future. So the FlightPath side, really no other tool does forward modeling and definitely doesn't do it to the point where you can, you know, FlightPath can tell you once we, and obviously we do the same thing. We help you get that all set up in different scenarios, but you know, we can tell you what your forecasted bank balance in June of 2027. You know, it's like, you're not going to get that out of another analytics tool. So those are kind of the major things. Doing all that with, yeah, relatively few mouse clicks is what we're looking to achieve to make sure that we're providing a good value back to the customers. Make sure that you feel like you have the foundation that you need to build a super strong business.
Yeah, no, this is lovely. Thanks so much for sharing that. I just like to understand the value prop and stuff like that. So it's very clear. flag in the sand, and you really are helping, and with some very unique feature sets. I appreciate that. I want to pivot to a story because I think this will also, I think, motivate people and saying, hey, other SaaS founders have made the Baremetrics choice. And hopefully you can maybe share a case study or some kind of a story, I guess, around a partner. They implemented the solution. I just would like to uncover specifically, like, what motivated them, maybe from their current kind of spreadsheety kind of hypothesis thing, and then becoming a customer, and then what happened about, like, is there any efficiency improvements or like any extra revenue being generated for their app or platform? Just hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but nice to be able to maybe highlight one particular company.
Yeah, absolutely. So one customer that I have, and we actually kind of talked about it, we're actually pretty public with our relationship with them. It's a company called UnionWorks. And they have three different apps. One's called Happy Birthday to send discounted emails on your birthday. It's pretty useful. And one's called Grapevine. It's an attribution, a marketing attribution app. And then they also have one, Easy Google Customer Reviews, which you could probably figure out what that one does. Yeah, exactly. The company that I founded was called Team Password. It's a password manager for Teams. So anytime I see something named that's like directly down the middle of the plate, like fastball down the center, I'm like, that's my style right there. So and our relationship with them was kind of similar to what I've been discussing around, like, they didn't really have the data that they needed, and they kind of were trying to figure out a lot of the ins and outs of their business and trying to glue data together. And they had the assumption that they were doing pretty well, but there's something they couldn't quite quantify of, like, well, how well are we doing, and how are we doing against, you know, historical benchmarks and moving forward? So it was a perfect example of, like, a group that was doing really well. They didn't actually know how well they were doing, but we were able to help them show, like, yeah, this is how well you're doing. We definitely were able to be a good partner and fill them in on sort of, like, you know, just kind of all the industry standard stuff. Again, like, we just have all this institutional knowledge about how subscription businesses build and scale. So being able to provide a good amount of that and being able to deliver that to them so that they can run their business in all the awesome ways that we've been talking about so far.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I know UnionWorks, I think Sam Hennings, I think I had him on the show a while back talking about Happy Birthday. I think that's how we originally got aligned to get you on this podcast.
Yeah, they're like the center point of of Shopify partners. It's really great to see, like, one, their own personal success, but it seems like they've made a mission to also be a connector and also help other. I feel like they have sort of, and probably you too. Like, we all have this sort of picture of, like, hey, this is like a really great thing going on here. This is a really cool kind of emerging market, although quickly emerging, like you said, like, we're up to 7,000 plus apps, so it's not really a baby anymore. But yeah, it's really cool what they've been able to do as far as just bringing everybody together and kind of making that like a side quest for them, aside from their own great success that they have.
You know, what's interesting too is I know I subscribe. There's a thing called that they've produced each week called Sassy, S-A-S-I. It's a Shopify App Store Index. And I'll put a link in the show notes for it. But, you know, if you're a SaaS founder right now and you want to kind of understand new apps are being released into the marketplace and just kind of have a good summary, they are scraping or API connected to the partners. I don't know what they're doing, whatever they're doing. Well, there's a daily email, but I get that thing. I get the weekly one just to kind of roll up in the summary of kind of what, and it gives me ideas even for this show and saying, are there any new partners out in the ecosystem that are doing some unique things, or were they on another e-commerce platform and they've now made their way over to Shopify, maybe more a notable partner or SaaS connection? So I think pretty neat for those that are listening today. If you're in the SaaS world and you're building on the Shopify's partner ecosystem, getting connected and signing up for that free access to Sassy would probably be a pretty smart choice.
Totally agree. We sponsor Sassy as well, so we're super familiar with it.
And there you go.
Yeah, okay. We love it. Right. It's an awesome, awesome resource.
Very cool. So let's talk about the future for Baremetrics. I mean, obviously, you said it's 7 or 8 years old now, the platform. It's been, you know, recently acquired. You've done other acquisitions from FlightPath and others. And so just would like to understand, like, you do a lot of great things today. You're very clearly, other than, you know, Stripe being your number one connected partner, but now Shopify partners being number two now. Just would like to understand where it's headed for the remainder of 22, maybe into the future. Is there any public roadmap or anything that you can talk about notably about where you believe the platform is headed.
Yeah, we don't have really a public roadmap to speak of, but I guess this serves as that where I get to kind of pontificate a little bit and share some of the plans that we have. Again, obviously, Shopify is something that we want to continue to go deeper and deeper on. There's just a number of different things that are a little bit different in the Shopify world that, like, all the time we're just sort of building in and improving our integration and finding little things that are different. Again, that's like a big part of the issue, especially being multi-platform, is to make sure that things are joined up. So for example, we have customers that use multiple integrations. They have some of their subscription revenue comes from Stripe and some comes from Shopify, or some comes from Shopify and some comes from the App Store. So there's always work to be done there, kind of on the tactical side, to make sure that all the data is aligned and kind of cleaned in the same way so that we're providing sort of a nice consistent experience there. Beyond that, that's kind of like a blocking and tackling type thing of like, and something we'll probably be doing forever, especially as like APIs change and businesses change and more features get added. We're always, that's part of what it means to be committed to a specific payment provider. So you kind of sign up to like, hey, we're just like always going to be tweaking this, adding it, improving it, and then figuring out like what needs to be rolled out retroactively and so on and so forth. So the next thing beyond that is something that we're working on pretty heavily is like we're bringing Flightpath more and more in-house. Right now, it's a separate product that's supported through API connections back and forth. So the first thing we did is just build like a bare metrics data feed into Flightpath. We want to look to, one, get that integration deeper, but also sort of just build that in of like, unfortunately, it's one of those things that just like takes a while, where with bare metrics, I can say like, hey, somebody signed up, we processed their data, we said a couple of things, they went away, and a month later, we can like look at the ROI of that. With Flightpath, it just naturally takes a little bit longer, where it's going to need to be over multiple months. And so, but what we really want to do, kind of my next like kind of public milestone, is where we can kind of share like a more complete story of like not just signing up for bare metrics and understanding the subscription side, but also like, okay, well, this is how we like planned our hiring. It's how we planned our expenses. This is how, and again, I'm kind of pausing for a second. I'm like, I don't want people to be in this situation, but if they are, we want to avoid it of like, ideally I'd love to be like, hey, like we were going to run out of money at our current, pace and where we're going, how revenue is growing, and then expenses outstripping revenue growth, people being able to make, operators being able to make really good decisions on like how to grow their business, or maybe raising. That's a great thing of like, hey, if you have really strong metrics on the bare metrics side, but you're just small issue, you're going to run out of money. Like that's the perfect situation to either raise debt funding or to raise different venture funding or whatever, angel funding, whatever the case is. So, that's the time to deploy against that. And then you can forecast your fundraise on top of that in Flightpath. So that's kind of the next cool, like major public milestone where I want to have like kind of the full life cycle, Shopify, bare metrics, Flightpath, and then like kind of like, a business defining moment. In the same way that Flightpath was there for bare metrics, when we really needed somebody to like have our back and help us understand and make the difficult decisions, like I want to do that both through the deepening relationship on the Shopify side, on the bare metrics side, but also including Flightpath into that kind of the full business 360 x-ray view.
Yeah, no, I love it. Thank you for sharing that. I know sometimes it can be a sensitive topic sometimes talking about kind of where things are headed, but it's awesome that, it's very clearly you're one of the market leaders doing this. And so that's the reason why I'm having you on the show today. I just want to make sure that, these SaaS founders understand that there are ways of understanding your data, making decisions and forecasting correctly, and coming up with some creative ideas about how you can deal with churn and how you can, enhance, I guess, the LTV out of your existing customers. So I think all these are just really important topics. So thanks for sharing a lot of that. I know we chit-chatted just kind of before recording today, and I think you want to talk about what the next steps for those listening today. Like, hey, yes, I have an app in the App Store. Yes, I want to grow further. I mean, I think Shopify has been quite kind, I think, giving SaaS founders like first $1 million for free without having any revenue share. I think that's pretty exciting. But where do you want to send people today as far as they've listened to this episode? They understand that, yes, maybe I don't know what I don't know. Where do you want to send them? And then what sort of offer is available for those to kind of kick the tires and see what the platform is all about?
Absolutely. So, if you're feeling like you're resonating with this kind of description that we've given, like, we definitely would love for you to come over to Bear Metrics. We have try.bearmetrics.com/fastlane. That's a landing page that we've created specifically for this podcast. I'm sure it'll be linked everywhere. We'd love to have you come through there. And if you sign up, we have a 14-day trial and we will get all of your data processed and we will chat with you and we will like have a person assigned to you to chat with you and help you understand, you know, what's going on in your account. And I think like a perfect step is to just show up and connect your data and see what you learn. It might be the situation where, again, we're all in the kind of spot to some degree where we don't know what we don't know. So if you're feeling like, that's why I kind of talked to the emotions of it and the feeling of it, because this is exactly where I was. When that business I was talking about, I ran it for a couple of years and it wasn't kind of wasn't growing at the same rate that I wanted to. It was always growing, but slowly. And I tried all this stuff and it felt like nothing worked. And eventually I wound up selling it. And through like, you know, crazy twists and turns of fate, that business is actually owned by the same private equity firm that Bear Metrics is. So I know how well my business was doing. And it's like 8 times bigger now than when I was running it, which, you know, so it's like, oh, so it was possible to grow that business. I just didn't have the insight that I needed. I wasn't, obviously, if I took that business over now with the experience that I have now, I'd be able to do better. So that's basically what we're trying to get people in, of like, help them understand what's going on with the business, the what, how you can grow it, the how, and then really bringing that all through. So I would take, again, if this is resonating at all, show up, start a trial, connect your data. And, you know, even if you have zero intention to sign up for the product, which I would hope that you would have at least, you know, 1% intention, but people are all over the place with that. And, you know, and we don't really discriminate on that point. So you can just look at your data and we'll walk through it with you. You know, maybe you realize this now, it's not the right time for Bear Metrics, but you at least get that snapshot right now to know if you show back up in 6 months, you have that data to compare. Like, you know, in your head, okay, this was my MRR back then. This was my churn rate. If nothing else, I would say come and get your snapshot and see how your business is doing, and also kind of grill us to see if we're actually able to deliver on being able to like show you different options and slice and dice your data, tell you something about your business that you didn't already know. I would say put us to task on that.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. No, I really appreciate that, because I think that's the key. The end of the day, you don't know what you don't know. I also believe that, you know, you just, if you attach it, ingest your data and come up with a couple of solutions and stuff like that, at the end of the day, you really do want to grow your SaaS product. And this is going to get, and it's so affordable. I look at your pricing model. It's so affordable. For it, the upside is definitely in the SaaS founders' shoes than it is in the Bear Metrics side. And so knowing kind of just forecasting side of it, coming up with some creative ideas, getting someone to hold some hands at the beginning just to kind of understand your data, enjoy that free trial. I think it's all, that's great. I mean, that's exactly what I was hoping you're going to offer today for those listening. And so, yeah, I mean, that's it for today's recording. I just wanted to thank you, you know, for coming on the show. I know that there's been some challenges with our calendars, but I'm glad we're able to, you know, make this work today. I just, you know, just kind of a parting note that I wanted to mention is that, you know, Shopify really is on a mission to make commerce better for everyone. And, you know, it's interesting when I record this sort of podcast, I'd also add, you know, that, you know, you really are on a mission, maybe even to help these SaaS founders really to help make data-driven decisions, I think, to really help grow and scale their solutions. And I just appreciate that that's kind of, you know, where you're headed and how your platform is really helping these SaaS founders. I really do appreciate that. I just want to thank you for, you know, getting on the show and sharing and just giving back to the ecosystem. And I wish you tremendous success through this show and into the future.
Awesome, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, my pleasure. Have a great day. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.